Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello, I'm Annie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
Welcome to the Scummy Mummies New Year special. Woohoo!
Woohoo! We're having a jolly time. It's lunchtime, our husbands are looking after the children, and we're drinking fizzy wine.
Hurrah! That's right. While we sit in my kitchen quaffing cava, my husband is at Gambardo's in Beckenham, the terrible soft play centre. He's basically in the eighth circle of hell. That's where he is.
Yes, well, we are working.
Yes. This is us doing our work. And because it's the Christmas holidays, it's a slightly unusual episode, this one, isn't it, Helen?
It is. There's going to be a bit of us chat without guests.
Yes. Yeah, we are going to have an interview later on. An interview we recorded a few weeks back at the Mumsnet Blogfest.
Blogfest!
With Polly Vernon, the columnist. So yeah, she's great. She talks about like her choice to have no kids and her book, which is called, is it Hot Feminism?
Hot Feminism, I think. Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's hot and it's about feminism. That yeah. much we can be sure of.
In your face, cold sexism.
So before we get to all that, how was your Christmas, Helen? Did you have a nice Christmas?
I had a very thorny Christmas in that I had Christmas with my two brothers and their partners and kids, and we were in Surrey. Lovely. Oh. Surrey. And basically we all ate our body weight in ham.
Oh, delicious.
It was very nice. And yeah, we had a lovely time. And basically our kids are obsessed with Star Wars, so Will and I and Father Christmas bought them everything to do with Star Wars. So we had our Christmas was sort of had the soundtrack of and ham.
Did Will get you a vibrator?
Yes, it's called the Shagasaurus.
It's shaped like a lightsaber.
Yeah, Robocock. How about you, Gibson?
We had a lovely Christmas as well. We also went to see Star Wars, but Pete and I went on our own. We got the in-laws to babysit, so that was nice. It was sort of like a hot date, except it was like in the middle of the day and it was a children's film. But apart from that, no, we liked it. We liked the film and we had a lovely Christmas, and it was all very jolly. And much better than last Christmas, of course, when Joe was in hospital. So yeah. Basically, any Christmas, like this Christmas, would have had to work really hard to be worse than last Christmas.
That's right.
So.
Nobody was in hospital.
Yeah.
And you weren't having to pump your boobs every 3 hours. Was on a machine.
No, I've got a child to do that for me. Yeah. Now, so
on a higher frequency.
So things are looking up.
That's
so, yeah,
right.
Now
you said all you wanted for Christmas was sleep. Did you get any?
Do you know what? It's picked up slightly. He's gone from waking up every hour to waking up every 2 to 3 hours.
Which, dreamy.
Yeah. No, but if you try and think back to the days where you had tiny babies, that actually does feel like a victory. That's how sad I've become.
That's
feels
right.
Like a glorious day.
Your eyes will wake up and you'll see the clock has moved forward more than
yeah.
one
oh, it's
digit.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so that is good. That has been nice, but yeah.
No, you have a healthier glow, Ellie. You look.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, again, my husband got me a vibrator. So it's the 28th December. It's nearly New Year's Eve.
I know. What will you be doing on the 31st, Ellie?
Probably nothing.
Yeah.
Probably sitting right where I am now, drinking another bottle of this very cheap cava, I would imagine. What about you?
Yeah, I always like watching, for the UK listeners, I like watching a bit of Jules Holland.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, eating some chocolates and having some fizzy wine.
Oh, I find him a bit annoying. I don't know why. Maybe it's his voice.
No, I like him.
It's not Mary Poppins.
we live across the road from a hill in London, and usually at about 12:45, you hear all the neighbours gathering to walk up One Tree Hill and look at the fireworks.
Oh.
And usually I cannot be asked getting off my bum to go up there, but I enjoy listening to the neighbours going up at 11:45 and coming back down at 12:15. So that's probably what I'll do. Last year I was in Australia and it was so hot; it was like 35 degrees. And again, I just wanted to stay inside because it's too hot.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Can't be having that.
And that's why I'm not going to Australia for New Year's Eve. I can tell you that much for nothing. So have you got any New Year's resolutions?
Yes, yes. Obviously, I'm a big thinker and I'm very ambitious. So my goal for next year is to have a kitchen table that is free from plastic crap randomness, that we don't have to, like, sweep our arms across the detritus just to have a meal. But I reckon about 50% clean is my aim for the year.
That sounds good.
And to have a table that is free from fossilised Weetabix as well.
Yeah.
There's times where I've looked at the table going, I think that Weetabix was from last month.
Yeah. I think it was from the Jurassic era.
That's right. Yes, you can. If you can pick out the fingerprints, they're actually smaller than the children's fingers are now. So. You can grade the table by the rings of Weetabix. So that's what I was hoping for. And the backstory is I just want a neater house. So I'm following the footsteps of Ellie Gibson and trying to chuck more shit out of my house.
Yeah.
And the euphoria you get from filling a bin bag full of crap.
It makes me high. It makes me actually high. Better than being drunk.
Yeah.
Sure. Marie Kondo has changed my life. She really has. So, yeah.
What's your resolution then?
Well, weirdly, it's sort of the opposite of what you've just said.
So, really? You're going to spread your house in Weetabix?
Well, what I've done is I've finished the condoing now. So for anyone who hasn't read this book, it's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. I think I've banged on about it before. And it's all about basically chucking out all your shit and only keeping the things that spark joy.
Right.
Yeah, like wine and children occasionally, things like that.
Comedy wives.
Comedy wives, exactly. You're going nowhere.
I have not been put in a bin bag yet, so I feel very valued.
Yeah. So I spent like a year sort of doing that and going through everything in my house and throwing out loads of shit, and it's very nearly done now.
Mm.
So basically my plan for next year is to spend less time tidying and sort of feeling like I should be getting rid of stuff and tidying stuff up.
She wants to be less of a weirdo next year.
Yeah, that's the idea. That's the plan.
Yeah, because I've spoken to you throughout the year, obviously, and I go, what did you do today? She's like, well, I just spent a day in my room chucking out socks.
Yeah, and genuinely being really happy and proud of myself. Like, yeah. I don't dispute that, but I'm also glad that, and the point of the Marie Kondo process is it's not like you must spend 5 minutes a day for the rest of your life decluttering. The point is to do it once, get it done, and then you can just move on with your life in a tidier, naturally tidier way that doesn't require as much upkeep. So
right.
I'm hoping that dream will become a reality. Mm. And basically spend some more time with my kids. Be nice.
You still will fold your clothes like a weirdo though, won't you?
Oh yeah, it's more practical, yeah.
Right.
It's also very satisfying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not just like, I have like a drawer of t-shirts and a drawer of socks for the kids and they just go in clean.
Yeah, but then they come out all wrinkly, don't they? And you can't find the red one if you need the red one. And
Yeah,
can't live like that, mate. It's barbaric. So
do email me if you feel like my way is the right way. We could have a little tidy off, couldn't we?
I don't need anyone to email me because I know my way is the right way. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, that's enough New Year's chat, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Let's move swiftly along to our interview. Off we go. Right now, I'd like to welcome to the podcast Polly Vernon. Hello, Polly.
Hello.
Hello. So what have you been talking about at Mum's Net Blogfest today?
Well, today I was part of a sort of astonishingly starry panel, of which I was the least starry by far, and we were discussing creativity and motherhood, and I was the token woman without a child, I think, on the panel.
Well, in fact, I absolutely categorically was the woman without a child on the panel.
Well, it makes a change from just being the token woman on the panel.
That's it does indeed make a change.
Pretty novel. So what was the sort of main takeaway from the panel today, do you think?
Well, I think we were mainly talking about that. So the main thrust of the conversation is whether or not motherhood informs creativity and sort of powers it, or whether it detracts and diminishes from it.
Mm.
And I think the main issue that we came away with was that it's the impact on time that it has, sort of purely from a logistical perspective, and also the kind of issue of how much a man may or may not contribute to that situation, may or may not help, and whether or not women collude with men in taking on the massive sort of burden of childcare. And I obviously had absolutely nothing to contribute. No, that's not true.
Poor you. I told you not to have kids. Look at you. You went ahead and
can't
did it
take
anyway.
Them back.
Because I talk and I have written for years. I've written and spoken for the point of view of, I was incredibly clear when I was very young, when I was still a child myself, that I didn't want to be a mother. It just, I think I was seven the first time I thought with any sort of clarity.
You said, fuck that shit.
Pretty much fuck that shit.
At seven. My teacher in Australian schools.
Kinda. I can remember that a neighbour had brought her very newborn baby round to our house, and everybody else, my mother and some other people, I don't know who they were. What were they doing in my house? I don't know. We're all cooing over this child, and I was like, oh, okay. And then the neighbour said, would you like to hold him or her? Who knows? And I went, no. And it was at that point I kind of went, oh, right, okay, this is clearly something some women want to do, but nothing that I want to do. And as I kind of got older, I felt more and more strongly about that. But what that meant really is that I had a sort of, I call it a ringside seat on watching friends have babies, on watching how their lives are impacted and changed, and watching how their domestic arrangements sort of settled, which has been fascinating and terrifying in, I think, in the way that once you put two people in a domestic situation, they will quite often take on these incredibly traditional roles. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that it doesn't matter how sort of enlightened and feminist we are, we think we are, that just seems to happen. And I'm in a long-term relationship. I've lived with my partner for a long time. And even though we don't have children, even though he is infinitely more domestically inclined naturally than I am, he's a better cook, he's a better cleaner.
Mm. Who takes the bins out, Polly? Who takes the bins out?
I take the bins
out. Shaking it up.
So in some ways, I suppose there is, and I'm the main wage earner. In some ways, there are. But in other ways, I am the one who makes sure we have some kind of a social life. Mm. You know, I'm the one who makes the phone calls. I'm the one who buys birthday presents for his family members. You know, in all those terms, you kind of, it's really hard not to embrace those roles. And I think when you've got kids, it seems almost impossible.
Yeah. No, I think I heard you saying that in the panel about, yeah, you're the one who sends a Christmas card to his parents. And I've done that, and I've thought, what am I doing? How did I get here?
Fuck? And also, I take his dry cleaning because he refused. Like, how? Mm. I am so undomesticated and so disinclined to all of that. And yet I do.
Mm. And I remember my mum's famous phrase, oh, just let me do it.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of attitude that I don't know if it's instinctual, but it has been ingrained in it. Oh, just let me do it. It's all right.
And there's a martyrish thing about it. One of the other panelists, Catherine, the blogger, that was talking about, there's a sort of almost a martyr quality that you're like, I guess I'm going to have to do this again. We should probably just let it go.
Just go on strike.
Well, this is it. I wonder if we do need to take some sort of ownership and some sort of responsibility for it, because there are certain jobs that I won't let my husband do because he'll fuck them up. So,
like what?
Like buying presents.
Okay.
Won't. Yeah. Or because that's it.
Or he'll buy shit presents, so you never ever ask him to buy presents again.
Yeah. Or he just won't do the job. So I tried to introduce the rule where I would buy all the, because we've got two kids and we get invited to a lot of birthday parties, which means buying a lot of pop up pirates and stuff like that. So the deal I made with him was, I will buy all the birthday cards and the presents and choose them and make sure we have them on time. Your job is to wrap them. And this is where the presents will be, and this is where the paper is, and this is where the sellotape is. And after a few weeks, just this huge pile of unwrapped presents. It's like a sort of shit Christmas. All these unwrapped presents just sit there, and then I'm like, oh, I'll just do it.
On top of which, you had to make those rules in the first place, because if he were left to his own device. But how? Like, you know, these that we are all sort of perfectly normal adults.
Why are we not in charge, Polly? This is what I... On every level, apart from obviously politics and big business, women are making shit happen. And then you get to actual major roles, and women are underrepresented.
Well, they're too busy buying the birthday presents.
They're too busy with the pop-up pirates.
Yeah.
But also, I do think we can kind of fall apart in terms of eternally judging each other and the sort of schisms and issues within kind of being a woman are difficult. We don't seem to be able to organise and mobilise in the right ways.
Well, have you seen The Apprentice? I mean, goodness. Piss up in a brewery.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you.
Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you feel that stigma as a woman who has chosen not to have children? Is there still a thing about that?
Hell yeah.
It's really...
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because I think because I have been so vocal, because I started writing about not what, you know, I decided I didn't want kids at 7, waited to change. Everybody was like, oh, you'll change, blah, blah, blah. I kept not changing. It became more and more kind of a sort of strong feeling. And then when I became a journalist, I started writing about it. And bloody, I mean, I have written some controversial stuff in my time, not entirely intentionally. It always surprises me when I kick off some bother. But one of the hugely controversial things that I've written about is not wanting kids. It was about, the first piece ran in The Observer, where I was employed at the time, probably in the early 2000s, at a point when comment on newspapers was really happening. And that was one of the first times that I looked at the comments section and firstly went, ouch! But secondly went, whoa. I mean, there were just hundreds and hundreds of comments. And they were incredibly sort of polarised between people who were going, brilliant, thank you, and people who were going, oh my God, how dare you say this, and you'll change your mind, and you're stupid, you're wrong.
Which I just find bizarre, this idea that people feel they've got the right to comment on your own decision and your life.
Well, do you know what I think? I've thought about it a lot and I've carried on, and people have got less kind of virulent with me because they get it. You know, they understand that that's, and because I argue hard back. But what I think I do, what you do when you say, I don't want kids, is you make it a choice. And I think people, it is easy and more comfortable to think it's not a choice, it's something I try to do, maybe it works out for me, in which case brilliant, maybe it doesn't, in which case I'm sad, but it wasn't a choice. When you say, no, it is a choice, then that necessarily involves regret, because regret because you do have kids, or regret because you don't, you know, regrets about those lives that you didn't lead. And that's sad, scary and threatening. So I think, having thought about it a lot, I think that's where people are coming from. And I totally get that. It is scary. You know, I can't, I haven't had kids. I'm not going to have kids. And part of me is a bit like, oh, I wonder what it would have been like with kids, knowing it would have been the wrong choice for me. Absolutely. Being in that kind of incredibly luxurious position. I'm still in a culture that very much identifies women as mothers and isn't really sure about the ones who aren't. So that's difficult. But on top of that, you know, part of me is like, I've probably been an all right mother. I mean, I don't know, but I don't think I'd have been entirely shit. And actually, I think my partner would have been a really good father. So, you know, there's a little bit of like, you know, a little bit of that is something I didn't do then. Mm-hmm. And that is, by definition, there's some regret and some sadness.
But I think mothers maybe have that as well. You know,
totally, but that's what
you're not. You're not allowed to say. You know, nobody's ever allowed to say, "Oh, I wish I had kids." Yeah. And I think that's because most people don't wish they had. I mean, I sound like I'm saying that. I'm not saying that. But of course, there's a bit of you that thinks I definitely made the right decision. I love my kids and I love my life.
But that is exactly what I mean. When you say this is a choice, then everybody is wondering about the choice they made and that maybe they didn't realise was a choice, but in fact was. And you know, motherhood is a choice largely. So when you've got someone going, I didn't want it, then part of you might think for the first time, oh, that was an option and I didn't.
So maybe she's right.
Yeah. And I think that's where that sort of anger and tension comes from. Possibly. I don't know.
Well, my dad said recently to me, I'm one of five children, and he said, you know, if I had my time again, I'd have less kids.
Okay.
And,
wow,
and
I'm going, would that be me?
I was the fourth. Yes.
So yeah, probably would have been you.
Yeah. So I think he made himself pretty clear. Yeah. But I think they just kept having kids. It was the 70s, yeah. And then, you know, kids turn into adults and then they turn into financial liabilities.
Yeah.
So I think
and that's why you're sticking with two.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Your dad was like, just hold on to your two. That's fine.
Oh,
good advice from my dad.
He's a vicar as well. It's nice to know that. I hope his congregation are listening.
That's all right.
What? That's great.
Yeah.
So also, Polly, you've got a book out at the moment.
I have got a book out, yes. So I published in May, of this year, a book called Hot Feminist, which is out in paperback at the end of January, so it'll be cheaper then, which obviously it's called Hot Feminist. I wasn't unaware that it might cause a bit of bother. I didn't expect the level of bother it did cause.
Because people were a bit cross, weren't they?
A little bit cross.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair to me and my book, people were either ecstatic or furious.
I think that's a good sign of a book, though, isn't it?
Sounds like a great sign of a book. As a human being, I kind of went, stop it, go away.
Had
a little cry for about 3 months, just about feeling like I'm getting myself back together again. It's awful. It's an awful experience being at the centre of that amount of controversy. Because, as I said earlier, I have written controversial things, but you don't think, I'm going to cause a load of bother. You go, I think and believe this to be true. Mm. I think the world might be, I don't know, better or more amused or more enlightened or think about things slightly differently if I put it out there. You don't think, right, come on then, you lot.
For anyone who isn't aware of the controversy, and
I'm always doing that. I promise I won't cry anymore.
What was the issue that people seem to have with the book?
Again, I don't really know. So what the book was about was my impure, politically incorrect, fundamentally shit brand of feminism, which I think is as legitimate as any kind of feminism out there. So it was about things like me being fascinated by fashion and obsessed by the way I look, and not seeing for one moment why that should stop me also being really, really concerned about rape rates in this country. It's also about my own personal experience of sexual violence. I wanted it to be a place where you could get both fashion tips and one woman's story about being attacked by a total stranger on a canal path in the same place at the same time, because that was sort of the point. You know, all these things can coexist within women because women are messy, we screw up. It was about your right to fuck it up as a feminist completely, but still call yourself a feminist because you still want the basic thing, gender equality. So it was sort of all of those things wrapped up. I wanted it to be very funny because I think feminism might be lacking some laughs. That, I think, was one of the things that people objected to. I think they thought that I was taking feminism and gender equality too lightly.
But you must be serious about feminism all the time, don't you know that?
But yes. I very much feel like I'm a person who doesn't take myself desperately seriously, and that's fine. Again, doesn't mean I don't really, really want men and women to be paid equally. I do. I just think I'm a bit of a twat. I think that was one of the issues. I think I talk about not minding being wolf whistled. Apart from those times when you turn around and it's not you, that I really mind. I mind not being wolf whistled. And when I wrote the book, Everyday Sexism hadn't really sort of established its sort of campaign against catcalling in the street, and that happened as my book came out. So I think that seemed like a direct attack, which of course it wasn't. And I make it perfectly clear that I embrace women's experiences and that I understand women's experiences of life can be very different. But that I personally make a distinction between being wolf whistled or not being wolf whistled and having somebody call me, you know, a slut or whatever. So for all these reasons, I guess it became intensely, it was difficult for some people. All the grief I got was from women. Men didn't seem to mind. It's also a very pro-men book, actually, because I don't think feminism need be a war between the genders. I think I call it a diplomatic exercise. You know, there are things that need to be changed, but I don't think we change them by beating up men. And, you know, I care deeply about men.
Some men are okay.
Some men are fine.
I like some men.
I like. Do you know, I like quite a lot of them. I really like the handsome ones.
Yeah.
Not on blanket, but pretty much on blanket.
I'm just trying to think. I can't. None spring to mind at the moment, but I'm sure some of them are all right. I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of them and do find generally that I hadn't quite a lot of time for the really handsome ones. I mean, part of the point of my book is there is a lot of concern about the sexual objectification of women, and in that we're sort of losing a sense that women are also really sexually predatory and that we are sexual beings. And that we are very, very good at making sex objects out of men. And I think we perhaps need to re-engage with that and find that sort of balance. You know, sex is a game that we both play and we're both in it. And we don't need to, we shouldn't lose sight of that. So yeah, for all these reasons, I think it became incredibly problematic for some people. I think an awful lot of, my sense from a lot of the criticism I got was, you know, I got an awful lot of people saying things like, I'm almost tempted to read at Polly Bunn's book to see how shit it is. And you're like, yeah, no, that might be a starting point for you.
Yeah. I love it when you, like, when we get a comment on our article sometimes it says, I haven't read this article, but
and
you
just think,
well, I don't know how interested I am in your opinion about it.
You might like it. I don't know, but you might.
That culture of commenting and getting on a hate bandwagon is starting to get a little bit out of control.
Oh, a little bit. I'm
downplaying it, Polly.
I should say, yes, nice gentle understatement. Yeah, it is. And again, this is something I talk about in the book. Oh, the irony. I do a sole section called Non-Judgment Day, which is kind of calling for an end to that, not just in feminism, in everything. I think motherhood is a particularly kind of judgy area, commenty judgy area, and it's this sort of idea that we identify with something online and then we attack everything else that isn't entirely in our image, and that's so kind of incredibly bad for us. It's incredibly bad for debate. It's incredibly bad for sort of the end game. If I'm assuming the end game is that people feel better, people are happier, and it's incredibly destructive. It's incredibly bad for the people who are being attacked. And I'm thinking about me specifically, but, you know, generally people. And it's also incredibly bad for people doing the attacking. The more you judge other people, the more you feel judged. It's an endless shitty cycle.
Should we end by saying, don't be...
I mean, that's basically it. Also,
What your next book's called, isn't
also
it?
Also, the con word, as I call the C word, is among my favourites. So I really appreciate that's like you couldn't pay me a better tribute.
I think that's a nice way to end the chat.
Yes.
Indeed, everything. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, Polly Vernon. Oh, Polly Vernon.
Oh,
she was great, wasn't she?
I love her. She loves swearing almost as much as I do.
Excellent. So thank you very much, Polly Vernon. Now, it's almost the end of the episode because, frankly, it's Christmas, isn't it? We can't bother to do a long one.
No, we've still got a bottle of cava to get through and our kids aren't around. So let's prioritise, Ellie.
Let's do Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hooray! The Christmas edition.
Yes. So my Christmas Scummy Mummy Confession, apart from the fact I've basically started drinking at about noon every day for the last 6 days... is that on Boxing Day, we'd had a massive turkey, obviously, the day before. Boxing Day, stopped off to get some milk and bread and stuff in Sainsbury's on the way home. Happened to walk past the chiller cabinet and noticed that Taste the Difference turkeys were reduced from £54 to £14.
I've never seen a discount on meat like it, Ellie.
I know, it's unbelievable. So, just 24 hours after cooking the last one, we bought another entire turkey. And just cook that as we speak. There's turkey stock bubbling away on the stove because you cannot have too much turkey at this time.
No, that's exactly right. And the funniest thing was Ellie was so, like, she was gagging to tell me this news when I got in to see her this morning to do this podcast. She's like, Helen, we got cheap turkey, 40 quid off. I'm like, I know, we did the same thing.
Was it in the same branch of Sainsbury's? Was it in Forest Hill?
It was.
That's hilarious. We've probably touched the same turkey while rifling through them.
That's right. The scummy mummies have done their Boxing Day sweep of the cheap meats in
absolutely.
South London. So I too ate Boxing Day turkey again. Oh, it's the joy of joys.
It's going to be Boxing Day for about 3 weeks in our houses. It really is.
Absolutely.
So is that like your scummy mummy confessional? Have you got another one?
Oh, well, basically I ate ham 6 meals in a row, which was joy of joys. And I did do that thing, which I always love doing, is that standing at the fridge door with a knife, just carving off bits of ham and having a little nibble.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, that was good. But yeah, no, I had, and the kids ate chocolate for breakfast, of course, as is the tradition on Christmas Day. And my kid, Hugo, who's 4, has been to see Star Wars. And we were a bit unsure about whether the violence would have any impact on him. And he punched his uncle in the nuts.
Hooray!
went, whoosh!
Which, no spoilers, but let's just say scene 4.
So that's a bit scummy, really. Yeah, but I had a lovely Christmas. But it's been a good year, eh?
Yeah, it's been a good year. And it's been a great year for Scummy Mummies. And thanks again, if you've listened to us, if you've shared our podcast with your friends, please keep doing that. Please write us a review on iTunes. Please, please.
Please. Write us an email. We're at scummymummiespodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. And we're going to keep blogging and podcasting and maybe even do a few shows next year, aren't we?
We are. We're hoping to do a tour of London. We're also hoping to get on the telly. So who knows?
We're always hoping to get on the telly. It's like saying, we're also hoping to become Hollywood stars.
That's right.
And fly to the moon.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
If you'd like to see us on telly, why not write to your local broadcaster? So hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you have a fantastic new year and a fantastic 2016.
Yep. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Bye-bye!
Bye!
Thank you so much.
Buy her book. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
I haven't read it.
You better.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.